this is kind of, it really doesn't go with Easter, but it's promises that we have.
Yes.
Amen. I was trying to get an Easter message. I was trying my hardest. Everything I came up with didn't do nothing. So I just said, okay, I'll go with what you want to do. You the boss anyways. I'm just following.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we'll just pray and get into it. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers, Father God, to feed our faith. We ask you, Holy Ghost, the helper, to help us this morning, to pull back truths from your word this morning and unveil and reveal them to us. And I thank you, Father God, that we will not just hold it just as something not very dear to our heart, but we will embrace it, Father God. We'll continue to meditate on it and to grow from it. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father God, make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths this morning out of your word for not only the crowd, but also, Father God, for me personally. And I thank you for it. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Would you grab me a water, please? I'm almost out. Amen. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5 real fast, please. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. Thank you, sir. Like they said earlier, though, about the food, if you didn't bring food, you're like, man, I didn't bring food. I don't want to show up with no food. It's fine. We got enough food to feed everybody in here, and then next week come and do it all over again.
That's right. Amen.
We really do. So please come. Come with your family or whoever you want to bring with you. Yeah. Bring them. It's going to be fun today. It really is. It's going to be a lot of food. And then we're going to have a kickball game as well. You know, normally there's a couple fights out of that, so, you know, you at least get to have some entertainment there. thank y'all on the front row for laughing. I appreciate it, you know. Everybody else will get it later, maybe. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says that, for he hath made what? Anybody? Nobody there yet. All right, so 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to what? For who? Say me.
Me.
That we might become the righteousness of God in what?
In him.
In him. Amen. So Jesus was made to be sin for us?
Yes.
Say yes. So Jesus was made to be sin for us?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. Let's go over to 1 John real fast, please. 1 John 3. I'm going to read this out of the Passion. First John 3, about verse 6, it says, but the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or know him by intimate experience. Amen. Delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from his truth. Amen. From this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of who?
The devil.
Of who?
The devil.
Of who?
The devil.
Amen. Y'all okay this morning?
Yes.
Amen. So, but the one who indulges in a sinful life is of who?
The devil.
Because the devil has been what?
Sinning
from the beginning. That's what the Passion says. Sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo the destroy, was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. What did Satan come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Nowhere in there it talks about devils come to give you life and life more abundantly.
No, sir.
Jesus, that's what he came for, to give you life more abundantly, right? But Satan came to, To do what? Amen. So what did Satan come to do? Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of him. So what he wanted to do, Jesus came to destroy that. To take care of that once and for all. Because his man Adam was here first, but he sinned, right? He fell out of fellowship with God. We'll get to that in a minute. Amen. We'll continue on real fast. The works of the devil. Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains within him and he is unable to continue sinning because he has been fathered by God himself. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified real fast. It says, no one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion, verse 6, with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits or practices sin. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized, perceived, or understood him, or has had an however you say that word. Thank you. That's that word, yes. Acquaintance with them. Boys or lads, let no one deceive you and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, living in constantly conscious life, is righteous, even as he is righteous. Amen. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. That's the part I wanted you to see. But he takes his character from the evil one. You can always tell when, you know, we said it before. It's funny, like whenever you become a, you know, whenever we're kids, we know everything.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but whenever we're kids, we know absolutely everything. Mom and dad can try to talk to us, but they don't know. Not like they was kids once before. What do they know? They're grown-ups. Well, it's, you know, how do you think they became grown-ups? Started off being kids first, right? And so it's funny that we'll tell our kids, hey, you know, I wouldn't hang out with that person. You know, you need to stay away from this person, stay away from that. You know, trying to protect them. But yet we'll go hang out with whoever we want to hang out with.
Yes, sir.
And you can tell the character of somebody by who they're running with. You can every single time. Amen. You can always tell somebody's character with who they've been running with.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And right here it talks about, you know, they know you because you've been, your character is of the devil. Right? Say not us though. Amen. Because we run with God, don't we? Yes, we do. Amen. Constantly. Turn over to Genesis 3 real fast, please. Genesis 3, we'll start about verse 17. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Genesis 3:17. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified first, and then we'll go to the King James. Well, we'll just read the King James first. 3:17, it says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the what? Because y'all read this before, right? He was supposed to eat the tree, but they did?
Right, yeah. Yes.
All right, amen, I agree. And have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed, say cursed.
Cursed.
What does it say after that?
Is the ground on account of thee.
Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Why did it get cursed?
Disobeyed God.
He got out of fellowship with God. And see, there's a blessing and a cursing. And I mean, all of us know, obviously, in the New Testament, our Old Testament, it talks about, in a lot of it, it talks about, well, God killed them, God gave them sickness. But over in the New Testament, you realize that it doesn't say God, it says the devil. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't even know that there was a God or a devil. They just knew there was a God. They didn't know there was a devil. That's why they just assumed that God did everything, right?
Yes.
Amen, I agree.
Yes,
Because if you ever read the New Testament, you know, it talks about just the devil. Satan comes to do what? So that should let you know who's been doing all the stuff, right? Amen. But he's letting them know, look, the ground was blessed. Because he brought him into Eden, correct? He said, look, God planned it. He said, look, now all you got to do is just keep it and replenish. Do exactly what I did here and go into the world and do it, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what he did, right? Amen. But did he? He ate of the tree.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's why the ground got cursed.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. So are y'all all right?
Yes.
Amen. Pinch the person beside you. Say, you okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of the face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, from dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Amen. I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified real fast. Verse 17, it says, And to Adam he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying... Never mind. I won't say it. I just thought of a joke. Better not say it. Get all the women mad in here, right? Never mind. Moving on. The tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is under a curse because of you. He told him, he said, look, the ground's under a curse because of you. Because of what y'all did.
Yes.
Amen. He said, because of you, in sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn over to Deuteronomy real fast, please. 28. Deuteronomy 28. If you read the first part of this, it talks about the blessing. Amen. You should read that. Okay? I'm not going to read about the blessing, but mark that down in your Bible. Just read from the beginning, about verse 1 to about verse 15 or 14. It talks about the blessing that's on your life. Amen. The blessing that's on your life, all right? Amen. I said about the blessing that's on your life. Amen. So Deuteronomy 28, we'll start about verse 15. It's going to be a long way, so y'all hang on for a minute, okay? But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall the fruit of the body and the fruit of the land, the increase of the kin and the flocks of the sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord, which is not the Lord, amen, shall send a curse, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto. For to do unto thou be destroyed, and unto thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with the extreme burning, and with a sword, which is also drought, and with blasting and mildew, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make thee rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. and shalt be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. And now thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto all the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. You'll be smitten with the madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You'll have the grope and at noonday, and blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. This is some pretty rough stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the curse.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because look, God created the earth and the fullness thereof, correct?
Yes.
And so he created Adam and Eve, put them inside the Garden of Eden, and he's pretty much created the blessing, correct?
Yes.
Well, on the backside of a blessing, what is it?
A curse.
It's not God that's given us the curse. God gave us the blessing. But if we're not up here in the fulfillment of the blessing, what side are we on? See, if there's two sides, a yes or a no, and we're not in the yes part, what are we in?
The no part.
Right? And it's not God giving it to us. Because Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that tries to kill us and destroy us and steal everything from us. But he can't if we know our authority and know who we are. Right?
Amen.
There's just a lot of stuff. I don't want to read all of it because it goes through all the way up through 60. That's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
That's a lot of stuff, the cursing.
Yeah.
And that happened whenever, as soon as they ate of the apple, the curse began on the earth. That's why he said, that's why death and everything came. Because we was meant to live forever.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Which we will be, but not in this natural body.
Right?
Yes, sir. Amen. I'm going to read some of that to you out of some different translations. Like pestilence is disease after disease, tuberculosis, infectious diseases, wasting diseases, a cold, a malarial fever, infections, sunstroke, I don't know that word, drought, blight, paleness, jaundice, inflammatory disease, ulcers, sores, boils, tumors, hemorrhoids, ulcers, swellings in the groin, sores, scurvy, eczema, incurable itch, malignant scab, festering sores, other sores of skin diseases, insanity, lose your mind, distracted, your mind's diseased, distraction of mind, confusion of mind, dismay of mind and heart, crazed in thy wits, confused of heart, panic, ulcers again, boils, sores, a skin disease, a sore inflammation, strokes of thy seed, incurable diseases and horrible epidemics, severe and lasting plagues and chronic sicknesses, malignant and lasting maladies, whatever, cruel diseases stretching on through long years,
yes, sir.
Extraordinary strokes and blows, every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law, any kind of sickness or calamity not mentioned in this book of the law, an anxious mind, a quickening heart, a shaking heart, weary eyes, or a despairing heart. And you can look over here in verse 61, and it says, in every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book.
Yeah.
Now let's turn over to Galatians 3 real fast, please. I just scored. Galatians 3, We'll start about verse 12. Say amen when you get there. It says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. But then what does it say? Verse 13. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Christ redeemed us from everything that we just read. See, sickness and disease was placed on his body whenever he went to the cross. How was it placed on him? I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't know. If I knew, I could tell you, but I don't know. I don't know everything, just so you know. I don't know, but I believe it because the Word of God says it. And so if it was all placed on him and he took care of it over 2,000 years ago, so whenever sickness or disease tries to come into my body or anything or to my kids or anything, I can take authority over it. I don't have to deal with it. See, it's like a bully at school. We can have the bully mess with us as long as we want to.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not encouraging fighting, but every now and again, if you just... I probably shouldn't say it. Probably shouldn't say that. But if you just let him realize he ain't the biggest and baddest,
Right. He'll
leave you alone. It's like this one kid, he's walking around in school and he had a notepad and he looked at this one kid. He said, what's your name? He's like, you know, he's kind of frightened him a little bit. He's like, what's your name? He's like, why? Because I'm writing it down. He said, why? Because I'm writing down everybody I can whoop. And that kid kind of frightened that kid a little bit, told him his name. So he's writing it down. And then all of a sudden that kid said, wait a minute. I'm not so sure you can whoop me. He goes, all right, let me take it out.
Amen.
See, that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to intimidate.
Yes, sir.
See, and it's like whenever somebody's healed. With me and my back, you know, I was in the military quite a while. We'd do 5-mile ruck runs and stuff with like 30, 45-pound weights. And it was a little different. It was. And then carrying all the weight, ammo, and stuff over in Iraq, I enjoyed it. But my back got to hurting a little bit. And I got prayed over, and I was healed. I was truly healed because the doctors were talking about there was stuff messed up in there pretty good. But I got healed. And every now and again, Satan will try to put a pain back there to where I kind of have to roll out of bed almost. Well, what do? You get out and complain, tell everybody that you meet, oh, my back's hurt. Or do you walk around so that everybody will ask you what's wrong? You know what I'm talking about, right? Those people that, you know, they're walking fine, but they see you and they go, because, you know, they want some sympathy a little bit. They want somebody to ask what's wrong. That way we could kind of, you know, tell them what happened to us. Yeah. But, you know, me, I've learned that he's just trying to see if I'll take it back or not. That's what he's truly trying to do. And if I start acting like, man, golly, my back's hurting so bad, I can't even move. Well, you know, come tomorrow morning, I probably won't even be able to get out of bed. But I might roll out of bed. But as soon as my feet hit the ground, I start walking. I say, no, I was healed of that over at least 5-10 years ago. My body is healed. I don't have to deal with this pain. I don't have to deal with this problem in my back. In just a few steps, I'm walking just fine. But see, that's something that we have to do. Why? Because first off, Christ has redeemed me from everything in Deuteronomy 28, starting from 15 to 16. He redeemed me from the curse. He redeemed me from all that. As soon as he went to the cross and said, it's finished, it was done that day. And after that day, anything that Satan tries to put on me, I don't have to receive it. I can receive it if I want to, but it's my choice. But I don't have to. I can stand up and stand my ground. Just like a bully coming up to us. You know, there are bullies and they just want to push your buttons. Well, you just stand up to them and say, no, if you think you're bad enough, you can try it. But I promise you, you ain't going to win. And they're going to go, okay, let me take your name out.
Amen.
Because when you stand up to it, He's not going to continually fight you because he hates getting whooped. Yes. Satan hates getting whooped. Yes. He doesn't like it.
Yes.
No more than the next person does. And if you start telling him what the Word of God says, look, I know that what Deuteronomy 28:15-60 says, Satan, those are the curses. But God in Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I no longer. And see, you just got to stand up and start just repeating it to Satan. Look, Deuteronomy is 28:15-60 is the curses. Genesis 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from the curse. That means I no longer have pain in my back. That means I no longer have a cold. That means I no longer have cancer. That means I no longer can't walk on my own. That means I no longer have to wear glasses. That means I no longer losing my hair. I should have did that one a long time ago, but I didn't. I'm going to spit that on my Bible. But you got to stand up and actually start decreeing what you believe. Because somebody that doesn't truly believe something, you ain't going to hear them saying nothing. Right? It's like a lawyer. You know, a lawyer, if he really doesn't know what he's doing or anything, they tell him, just pound the table, make noise. But that's not going to do nothing. You can just make noise, but that won't run Satan off. You start telling him what the Word of God says, that'll run him.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
And that's what you need to do. You need to let him know, look, first off, Satan, I don't live in lack or doubt.
Yes, sir.
Let me read a couple things to you real fast. I forgot I had this other page. Like the first one, I forgot to ask y'all, but sometimes whenever you ask people, what has Christ redeemed us from? A lot of times they'll just say from sin, right? But we just read, and the book of the law is actually the first five books of the Bible. Y'all know that, right?
Yes,
amen, okay. And if you start going through it, and not only that, but Deuteronomy 28, start reading down through there, it talks about poverty, sickness, and spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
So see, Christ redeemed us from poverty, from sickness, and spiritual death.
Amen.
He's redeemed us from it. That means we don't have to partake of it. And so that means that every bill that we have has to be paid. And it will be paid. Because I'm not under the curse. There was this lady, she started, William B. Yeoman. They actually started a house, and they'd take the sick. This lady, she was from Canada. She was a doctor. She worked over in New York for a long time and ended up getting addicted to narcotics to help stay awake and things like that because she was a doctor. And she was about to lose everything and ended up getting just delivered and set free by the power of God.
Amen.
And so she moved to California and bought a house, a 3 or 5 or 6 bedroom house, and her sister went there. And they started taking in just people that the doctor said, there's no more hope for you. That's the only people they had let come in their house. And so she got this one lady had tuberculosis. And so she brought her in, took her upstairs, put her in her room in the bed that they had for her, and she started reading Deuteronomy 28 to her. She said, look, these are the curses. Then she went over to Galatians 3:13, said, but Christ has redeemed you from the curse.
Amen.
And so just start saying that, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ redeemed me from the curse. That means I no longer have TB. That means I no longer have TB. And so she said that lady was looking at her kind of weird, like, what are you talking about, you know? And so she did that, and then she went downstairs. Her and her sister made the lunch that day. And then she went back up after lunch and read to her again, Deuteronomy 28, Galatians 3:13, and said, every time you think about it, say, Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curse, but Galatians 3:13 says that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That means I no longer have TB. And she said she kind of was like, okay, you know, paying a little bit more attention. So she ended up leaving, went to the other people, read to them, went downstairs, they made dinner, fed everybody, same routine. Went back up, told her the same thing. And then they went to bed. Next morning, Got up, went and read to her Deuteronomy 28 again. Same routine. Went downstairs, started making breakfast with her sister. And all of a sudden, they heard something running downstairs. And that lady came flying into the kitchen and said, "You know, Deuteronomy 28, the curses. And you know, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed me from the curse. I no longer have TB." Was healed instantly. Well, how? Well, because she looked at what the Word of God says and said, "You know what? Christ has redeemed me from that. I don't have to have this. This doesn't belong to me. This has to go back to its father, Satan. It's not from God." Because every good and perfect gift comes from who?
God.
Yeah, it does. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and what?
Destroy.
Amen. Look at Matthew real fast. Matthew 8:17. Say amen when you get there. Redeem means to rescue from loss. Redeem means to rescue from loss.
Amen.
In the Noah 1828, Noah Webster, it means delivered from bondage. And that's what sickness and disease and poverty is. It's bondage. It's bondage. I said it's bondage. Because if you're so sick or crippled up to where you can't even get outside and enjoy life with your family, that doesn't sound like it's fun. It sounds like bondage. If we're so addicted to drugs or alcohol or something like that, that we're living out in the streets now, got divorced, can't even see our kids, that doesn't sound like something good. It sounds like bondage. But what Christ redeemed us from? The curse from that. Amen. Matthew 8:17, it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities. Took our infirmities and bore our what?
Sickness.
So if he bore them, why aren't we trying to?
Amen.
We don't have to. Because if he bore them, we don't have to.
Right.
Go to 1 Peter 2:24, please. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Then what does it say? You were? Is that past, present, or future? So if you were, then you are.
Amen.
So if we were, then we are.
Yes, sir.
So then we don't have to try to get something that already belongs to us. God said it, you can have it. And we say, yes, thank you. I receive it.
Yes.
Amen. Because Christ redeemed us from what? The curse of the law.
Yes, sir.
See, whenever he went on the cross, everything that you would ever do in your life and every sickness that would try to attack your body was put on Jesus that day.
Amen.
Did you know that? You know, you was right on his mind whenever he was still on the cross.
Yes, sir.
Whenever he was getting whooped, you know, you was on his mind. Whenever he was in hell, you know, you was on his mind. But see, he went to hell. What did he do there? He took the keys. Death, hell, and the grave.
Yes, sir.
And came out and spoiled them. Spoiled principalities. Amen. And powers. And made a show of them openly.
Yes.
Openly. Letting everybody know, look, the authority Satan did have because of Adam, I just took care of it on the cross. The curse that was on the earth because of Adam no longer has to be a part of you. I just dealt with it. So everything that the curse has, you can leave it over there with Satan. Because I have come that away. I've done away with the curse. Now it's just a blessing and all we have to do is receive it. Because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for me, I no longer have to deal with back pain, with knee pain, with sickness. I don't have to run around in fear. I don't have to run around in worry. I don't have to run around in doubt. I don't have to run around worrying what my kids are doing. I don't have to run around thinking about how my bills are going to get paid. Because Christ redeemed me from the curse. So everybody else that's freaking out and worrying, I don't have to. Because Christ redeemed me. Because if he went to hell and took care of it, I don't have to deal with none of it. That's the way I look at it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Galatians 3:13. Y'all stay there. Go over to Ephesians. It's just one book over. Ephesians 2 real fast, please. Amen. Say amen when you get there. 2:5. We'll start about 2:5.
Amen.
It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. Say quickened.
Quickened.
Quickened. Us together with Christ. Quickened means made alive. Amen. Quickened. It's like whenever you're cutting your fingernails or you're getting a manicure or all that stuff, and they get down to the quick, boy, you know real quick, because that's down there where it's live. Right? Amen. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. Next, please. And hath raised who?
Us.
Where at?
Up together.
And made us do what?
Sit together.
Where at?
In heavenly places.
See, as soon as he took care of everything, that's where Christ is seated. Not only that, he raised us up with him also, and we're sitting at the right hand of God. So see, it's just like when in the military, they'd always tell us, never fight uphill because you got a disadvantage. Right? So we're seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. So we're fighting from a seated position looking down. We shouldn't be looking at Satan eye to eye. We're looking at him like this. Because that's where we're seated. Made us sit together. And we need to realize that. Amen. Galatians 3:13, real fast, please. Now think about if you have pain in your body, sickness in your body, hold that in your mind real fast. Okay, and now let's read 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And now say, whatever it is, say, since I'm redeemed from the curse, that means I no longer have pain in my body. That is, since I'm redeemed from the curse, that means I no longer have sickness in my body. And start just saying that over your life every chance you get. And watch your life line up to the Word of God. Because if Christ redeemed us from the curse, and we just sitting around talking about how we're always sick or how we're always broke or how, you know, I got this pain, that's a slap in His face. We're good, right? We can just talk for a minute? All right. So if somebody went to a cross and took all the sickness, which we just read in Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. You can also read it in Isaiah 53:4-5. So if Christ went to the cross and took care of sin, took care of death, took care of sickness, and then all I'm doing is walking around talking about how I'm always sick, how I don't know what I'm going to do. That's really a slap to his face, because he's sitting there going, well, why did I take those stripes then? Why did I allow them to beat me and to pluck my beard out like they did? Why did I allow them to nail me to that cross then? Amen. Because Christ redeemed us, right? From the curse of the law. Amen. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ has redeemed us. It means to buy back. Redeemed also means to buy back. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So all of those curses, Christ redeemed us from them. That means that we do not have to be partakers of them.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. 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 We'll stop. Amen. Everybody okay? Y'all good? All right. Awesome. You might be a little cold, but let's be honest. We're about to go outside in 102-degree weather. right? And so y'all are going to be thanking me about 30 minutes into that about 102 degree weather. Be like, man, let's go back to the church. It's cold. Amen. Well, Father God, we love, thank you, praise you. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. I thank you, Father God, you have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I thank you we don't have to deal with any of the curses. We do not have to. We do not have to. We don't have to allow any of them in our lives at all. And I thank you, Father God, what you took care of over 2,000 years ago, I'm staying with it today. I thank you, Father God, that we will just continue to meditate on this and to grow in it. And I thank you, Father God, every chance that we get, we will say that. Thank you, Father God. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curses, but Galatians 3:13 says that Christ redeemed me from all of those curses. That means I no longer have pain in my body. That means I no longer live in lack. That means I no longer have frustration. That means I no longer worry or have anxiety. Amen. And so we thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you, I do want to say this real fast.